Joe Biden came before Congress this week to unveil even greater spending plans. Led by those progressives around him, like Bernie Sanders, Ocasio-Cortez, and yes, Barack Hussein Obama, Biden is incapable of resisting their overtures. The Biden proposals would add some $4 trillion more to that indebtedness. The left would now like to provide 3- and 4-year-olds with preschool training at the expense of taxpayers, glorified babysitters. They want to give free community college to any and all who want to go, illegal aliens included. If a person rides along at no cost to themselves, they have no investment in their own future. Some will take advantage of the opportunity and make something of themselves. But without any skin in the game, others will simply go through the motions. There is far more in Biden's great money heist, and I'll comment on that at another time. We now know that Joe Biden can read a teleprompter with a speech prepared for him by professionals. We also continue to see that he is kept away from the public, where he has to speak off the cuff. Reagan, Obama, Clinton, Carter, and other presidents could stand before the American people and converse without a teleprompter. Asking Biden to do that is like asking Joe's son, Hunter, not to inhale the weed. You cannot tax the wealthy enough to pay for all this excess without rebellion. Some will move out of the country because they can afford to do it. Others will move their jobs overseas, reversing the trend that Trump had begun in bringing those jobs back to America. Taxing people who have been successful to give to others can only extend so far. There is a scene in the movie Network where the newscaster stands up from his desk and says, "I am mad as hell and will not take it anymore." Well, that's the way I feel today as I air this commentary. There is a war on white America, and it's not the average, ordinary black Americans who are waging that war. I travel a great deal, and I meet a lot of people from all races, colors, and creeds. Ann and I just celebrated our 56th wedding anniversary with a trip to Harrah's in Cherokee, and intermingled there with a large number of people, blacks, whites, Asians, and Native Americans. The 3-day event was enjoyable. Everybody wore a mask. There was plenty of disinfectant. And as much as possible, people kept their distance. Because of the distance from the hotel to the casino at Cherokee, it's a long walk. And because of persistent back problems, we rent electric scooters and change floors several times, which require the elevators. Again and again, we had people offer to help us with those elevators because we were on scooters. These people were black and white. On the floor, the people were courteous. My point is that the racial problems that threaten all of our lives are being overblown by a minority of Americans who are being bankrolled by wealthy, white anti-Americans, people like George Soros and others. They are behind the riots, the shootings, lootings, and burnings. The racial hate doesn't stem from the black American who works with you or the black American who checks your groceries at the market. It doesn't stem from the white American who delivers your mail or the white American who helps you onto a wheelchair in the emergency room at the hospital. It's from militant groups like Black Lives Matter and Antifa, whose leaders get wealthy from funding, and its members stay in nice hotels with meals provided and health care paid for. They don't walk from riot to riot. They are flown or bused to them. Meanwhile, the rest of us, blacks and whites, suffer the consequences. Most black people do not hate white people, and most white people do not hate black people. Outside of a rare rogue police officer, the police are not hunting black people to kill or harm. In a moment, I'll share facts with you to prove what I'm saying. Of course, black lives do matter. No rational person ever doubted that before this current campaign of racial hate began. All lives matter. A black man with a rap sheet more than 180 pages long tried to run over the police, and he got killed. Instant justice was demanded by a mob of vigilantes without any knowledge of all the facts. If, when all facts are in, justice in any case is not done, then that's the time to peacefully protest. Meanwhile, all across America, and especially in Chicago, several black lives, including children, don't seem to matter when killed by other black people every single week. It's fine to demand responsibility from the police, but that same demand must be made by black America regarding the irresponsibility of people who are threatening the police, resisting arrest, and getting themselves killed. The mainstream media will not tell you what I'm telling you today. Anyone who gives you the truth, as I'm about to do, is automatically a racist in the eyes of progressives and Black Lives Matter. But truth is truth, and racial division is the greatest threat we face because it's causing us to hate each other, to kill each other. I share credit for this commentary with Odyssey Online, Jeffrey Higgins of Citizens Journal, and Bill White of Suburbiopedia for their research, which I combine with my own. Let's begin with what I truly believe, based on a lot of my own research. These demonstrations against the police every time a black person is killed have become a ritual, an opportunity to steal stuff, to riot, set fires, and damage other innocent people's property. Show me a black person shot by the police who was not resisting arrest and with a criminal background, and I'll protest with you. I won't loot or burn, but I will stand up against any unlawful act by the police. With a rare exception, that's not what's happening with these police shootings. In the past, I have joined with others to condemn the actions of a rogue policeman in the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. I agree with the jury convictions. I do not believe that the officer meant to kill Floyd. That would, of course, been an insane thing for him to do for his own good. But while Floyd had underlying conditions and was high on drugs, the officer's knee on his neck for almost 10 minutes was enough to kill him. The icy stare into the cameras by the officer as Floyd's life drained out of him was enough to convince the jury that he was guilty. But Floyd is no saint, as some are making him out to be. Still, it did not give anyone the right to damage property or other innocent people, to steal booze and big-screen TVs or set fires. Take the case of Duante Wright, a 20-year-old black man who was killed in the Minneapolis suburbs by an officer. There are many pictures for you to view of Wright brandishing menacing guns, and he had a warrant out for aggravated armed robbery assault from December 2019. While resisting arrest, he was shot. That does not call for angry mob protests, looting, and burning. To take to the streets protesting someone, black or white, regardless of the circumstances, is foolhardy. Each case is different, and due process must be given in each case. We cannot allow mobs to determine guilt or innocence. Police officers risk their lives every day, and they do not receive the recognition they deserve. Their job is to protect us from ourselves. They patrol the streets and highways to ensure the safety of the people they are tasked to protect. That includes everyone, regardless of skin color. The sad truth about police officers is that, more often than the media leads you to believe, the very people they are protecting turn on them. Every morning when an officer leaves his or her family to go to work, their family prays that they will return safely. They know there is no routine traffic stop and that it can turn deadly at any time. The media and Black Lives Matter portrays cops as killers and prone to violence by using the actions of a very few bad cops to paint all police with one brushstroke. The truth is that police officers do not want to hurt anybody. They are people just like you and me. If you treat them with respect and don't make things difficult for them, they will treat you with respect, and things then will go easier for everyone. On the other hand, if you act like you are better than them and resist them and push and shove them, they will make things more difficult for you. The police are not out to get you. They just want to make sure that everyone is as safe as possible. They live where you live. Their kids go to school with your kids. They eat at the same restaurants as you do. Police officers choose their job because they care about their community, and they want to keep it safe. Lord knows it's not because they are highly paid. Don't get mad at the police for enforcing laws that you see are unfair or wrong. Their job is to protect us. And the best way to do that is to make sure that everyone obeys the laws, whether they agree with those laws or not. The police do not make the laws. That's up to your representatives. Police are there just to enforce the laws. Now, we can all agree that police officers make mistakes. To that point, police officers are people just like you and just like me. Police are held to a higher standard, but they are still bound to make a mistake eventually. Additionally, whether you have committed a crime or not, it is always in your best interest to interact with the police in a respectful, non-threatening manner. The police are human too, and just because they have a gun in their holster does not mean they do not fear for their lives in certain situations. Anti-police rhetoric is spreading across the country faster than the coronavirus because disinformation about so-called racist police shootings fuels that transmission. The shootings of Breonna Taylor, Tony McDade, and Rashard Brooks, among others, have become symbols of racist police killings, regardless of the facts. The false narrative surrounding police shootings has caused law enforcement officers to be demonized, assaulted, and murdered. The problem is exacerbated when a celebrity like LeBron James ignorantly says that police are hunting Black men. If so, they're doing a bad job of finding them. The data is clear. There is no epidemic of racist police officers shooting and killing Black Americans. While every life is valuable, the number of Blacks unjustifiably shot and killed by police is microscopic. Despite these facts, politicians, activists, and the media continue to misrepresent the facts. It's time to stop lying and set the record straight. It is rare for the police to kill anyone. A Black man is more likely to be killed by lightning than by a police officer. In 2019, police shot and killed 1,003 people in the United States. 1,003. Of those, 250 were Black and 405 were white. Police shot and killed 55 armed suspects, including 25 whites and 14 Blacks. Shooting an unarmed suspect can be justified if a suspect makes a furtive move, attacks an officer, or tries to take the officer's firearm. Of the 14 incidents of unarmed Black men shot and killed by police in 2019, Several involved high-speed car chases, fights with the officers, or had weapons recovered at the scene. According to reports, 91% of whites and 85% of blacks contacted by police through traffic stops said police behaved properly. Of citizens contacted during street stops, 81% said police acted properly. Only 2% of all citizens contacted by police experienced force or threat of force. According to the U.S. Census, in July 2019, an estimated 328,239,523 people resided in the United States. Blacks comprised 13.4%, or 43,984,096 black Americans. That means that police shot and killed one unarmed black male out of every 3,141,721 black Americans. Does that sound like an epidemic of police murders? The numbers of unarmed blacks shot and killed by police are so low, most Americans recognize their names. Comparatively, every year, police kill a larger number of unarmed whites, but almost nobody knows any of their names. Of the 250 blacks shot and killed by police in 2019, only 6 were female. Despite being 13.4% of the population, blacks committed 9 times more interracial crimes against whites than whites committed against blacks. If racism is the cause of interracial violence, white cops are not the problem. The myth of racist police shootings has many unintended outcomes. Hundreds of police officers have been injured or killed, and many more are expressing their desire to quit the police force. Think about it. Why would a police officer want to put themselves through the ordeal of shooting a black person? You know what's coming. We are seeing more calls for doing away with the police completely, closing the jails and prisons and freeing those behind bars. Anti-Americans like Rashida Tlaib, Ocasio-Cortez, and other brain-dead politicians favor such a thing. But what would our country look like without police? First of all, we have to understand that the calls to defund the police have nothing to do with George Floyd. His tragic death and others like Dwayne Wright are merely being used as a cover for a deeper agenda. The call to defund and disband the police actually is not something new. It's an age-old tactic of revolutionaries. Eliminating the existing authority structure makes room for a new one, as nature abhors a vacuum. Those calling the loudest for the abolishment of the police, and who are coming to the forefront through those calls, are the same ones who are planning to take over when and if they get what they want. What will happen to our nation if our cities defund and disband our police forces? Should that happen, we can be sure that things would quickly break down into anarchy. On the most basic level, law enforcement has always been based upon individuals protecting themselves, whether they hired someone to protect them or resorted to vigilante justice. It was all about protecting themselves and their families from those perceived to be criminals. Should the mobs get their way, that's exactly what we're going to have to do again. The only protection our families will have is the protection we can offer them ourselves. That means being ready for a home invasion or someone trying to burn down our homes at any time. We will need to be ready to deal with those threats at a moment's notice. On top of this threat, we have calls to take away our guns, our only means of self-protection. There are a number of things we need to do to be ready for this. If you don't carry concealed, then get a license and start doing so now, even in your own home. Your gun won't do you the least bit of good sitting in the nightstand if someone kicks in your door while you're watching television. Go to the range and practice. Accuracy is the key when you want to make sure you get any attackers and don't accidentally hit a family member. Be sure to teach every member of your family how to shoot and shoot safely. Make sure you have enough ammo on hand. Buy several fire extinguishers and put them in different parts of the house. The favorite arson tool of rioters is the Molotov cocktail. Harden your front door so that it cannot be easily kicked open. Hopefully, none of this will be necessary and your home won't come under attack. But if they succeed in eliminating the police or even seriously reducing their funding, there's a strong possibility that we will see an increase in violence. Put your firearms in separate and safe places so that if the calls for taking our guns away succeed, they won't be able to find them all. That's what we need to be prepared for. Once again, I hope it doesn't happen, but I won't allow it to steer my life. Rather, I'll use whatever means I have at my disposal to protect my family without allowing myself to cross the line and end up becoming an instigator in an attempt to stop violence. Should those who are calling for the elimination of police succeed, there will clearly be a power vacuum. How long that power vacuum will last is something we cannot foresee. But I doubt it would take very long. It appears that those who are calling to abolish the police are already planning on stepping in. If we, the law-abiding citizens of this country, are going to do anything, our time to act is limited. The best possible outcome would be if we, the law-abiding citizens of our communities, could take control before the lawlessness begins. Should we succeed in doing that, we might be able to forestall anarchy and crime in our own communities. But that is going to require organizing and putting our people in place before organizations like Antifa could put theirs in. I'm not sure that could happen. Antifa is already organized. If we don't succeed in doing that, then the only way we will have of getting our country back and restoring law and order will be to fight the lawless, whoever they might be. It might mean that second civil war that people have been talking about in recent years comes upon us. I hope not. But I would not bet against it. We have become complacent. Things are happening all around us that we never dreamed would be possible. In the recent riots in Raleigh over the George Floyd trial, several people were arrested. The great majority of them were young, white people, not blacks. Antifa is well organized and involved in rioting, looting, and burning all across the country. They have rich white demagogues like George Soros and others paying them to do so. Whites and blacks need to understand that these anarchists are trying to destroy this country. To do that, they need the races to be preoccupied and not paying attention. These anarchists, again, mostly young and white, are paid to divide the country by anti-Americans. Again, they stay in hotels. They don't sleep under the trees. They fly or bus to their next demonstration. They eat well and have their insurance paid for. Meanwhile, the average, ordinary citizen, be they black or white or Hispanic, cannot seem to agree on the same problem. We are being conned, and the con game has become very dangerous. Let's not assume that it's all going to just go away, that it's a simple ache or pain. It's not. It is deadly. I find all of this so excruciating because I know too many people, black and white, Hispanic, Asians, who get along with one another. We have a minority of people. I don't mean a minority in the terms of black or Hispanic. We have a minority of people who are causing all this trouble, and we're allowing them to do that. We've got to stop it. I remind you that on Wednesdays, I've begun a series in which I tell truth and myths about what's happened in our world, in our country. It's devoid of politics. We don't begin to discuss politics on Wednesdays. It will tell you what's true and what's a myth about things and people we've been taught in school. There's more of it than you might think, and some of it is really surprising. Again, there's no politics involved. If you'd like to receive those Wednesday commentaries, and you don't already receive my weekend commentaries, which are pretty much political, then all you need do is send me your email address. You send it to tom@tomjoyner.net. That's tom@tomjoyner.net. We'll put you on the list of growing list, by the way, very fast growing list of people who do receive these commentaries in their email. You simply find the time that you have available, click on it, and learn. I do thank you for all of the comments I receive on my commentaries. I work hard in research to make sure that what you hear is the truth and nothing but the truth. And if I ever make a mistake, and we all can make them, I'll be the first to come back and tell you, apologize, and move on. That's all we can do when we make a mistake. I thank you again for joining me today. I care about people, and that's why I do these commentaries. I ask nothing for it. I get paid nothing for it. The hours of research are invaluable to me in my own learning, and I hope it's important to you. Thanks again. I'll be back again next week, God willing, same time and same station. And God bless America.